In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
I often hear things like, the world just keeps getting worse and worse all the time. You can't even let your kids play outside anymore. Things like that. Maybe you've heard people say that sometimes. Maybe you've said things like that yourself. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. In reality, by nearly every conceivable measurement, the world as a whole, and our society in particular, is becoming a better place all the time. In all the big areas, life, health, food, freedom, pollution, crime, war, education, and civil rights, in every one of those categories, which I think most people would agree are important, both the world as a whole and our society in particular is getting better and better all the time. And not just a little bit better, but dramatically so. Murders are way down. Crimes against children, way down. Discriminatory laws, way down. Starvation and poverty, way down. Pollution rates, way down. Infant and maternal mortality, way down. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't individual travesties and local tragedies. But every category I can name is getting better and better over time. You and your children today are half as likely to be a victim of violent crime as you were just in the 1980s. Half. And 1/30th as likely as in the 1800s. So much for the good old days. The good old days are right now. Now, I learned all this in a TED Talk. And when I first heard it, I doubted it. I couldn't believe it. Now, some of you might be doubting me right now. I really doubted that because I had always believed that things keep getting worse and worse until the second coming of Christ. So what did I do when I heard all this? I investigated. I investigated as many of the speaker's stats as I could. And it was all true. Every word I could verify was absolutely true. He was right. My doubt led me to investigate, which challenged me to change my mind. Now, there are people who doubt that the world is getting better and safer and healthier. And no matter what they see or read, they don't want to hear it. They will continue to believe the opposite because at the core, their doubt is an unwillingness, or perhaps more accurately, an inability to change their mind. Because brothers and sisters, changing your mind is the single hardest thing a person is called to do ever. And I don't mean I've changed my mind, I'd rather have vanilla than chocolate. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean to reevaluate a potentially incorrect belief that you hold deeply. Something you hold deeply and to say, you know what, I have to change my mind about that. It is one of the most difficult things that you or I are called to do. And that leads us to the two different kinds of doubt in this world, because doubt is an inner warning light. Doubt is when your brain says, there's a sign of one of my beliefs being challenged. Warning, warning, you may have to change your mind. And as a species, we resist that vehemently. That warning light spawns a doubt that says, I don't care what you show me, I don't care what I read or see or hear or touch or witness, you'll never convince me because deep down, I don't want to change my mind. Now, in my opening example, there are people who will believe the world is getting worse and worse and more dangerous, and nothing they see or read will change their minds. But believe it or not, my goal this morning is not to convince you that the world is getting better. That's actually just an illustration. My concern is that this kind of doubt also shows up in spiritual matters, matters of eternity. 2 short weeks ago, we celebrated the resurrection of Lazarus, a man who was 4 days dead. Now, there were people who knew he was dead, and they saw him raised, and they believed. There are other people who, when they heard the story, they doubted it. So they went to see Lazarus, and then when they saw the evidence, and when they investigated, then they changed their minds and believed. But then there was another group, the chief priests and the scribes. They held such a feverish hatred against Jesus that nothing Jesus could say or do, no matter how powerful or how grace-filled, could crack that doubt because they didn't want to believe. Overcoming doubt about Lazarus rising meant changing their minds about Jesus, and that was definitely not on their agenda. And it says in John's Gospel one of the most bewildering sentences in all of humanity. It says, the chief priests and the scribes plotted not only to put Jesus to death, but they even plotted to put Lazarus to death because too many people were believing in Jesus on account of Lazarus. They would rather destroy the evidence than change their minds. Now that is one stubborn and tragic doubt. And if that wasn't enough, a week later, they heard from their own soldiers. These weren't disciples. These were their own soldiers who came and said, you know what? An angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone, and the tomb was already empty. And what did they do? Paid off the soldiers and say, pretend it didn't happen. Paid off the soldiers rather than change their minds. Changing your mind, changing an opinion on something important is the hardest, and it's also the most courageous thing you'll ever have to do. And that brings us to our good friend Thomas, and an entirely different kind of doubt. Now, first of all, Thomas gets a bad rap with the title Doubting Thomas. All the disciples doubted until they saw the risen Lord themselves. You remember when the women came back from the tomb, you know, the women saw Jesus, and it says they go to tell the other disciples. And do we remember what it says in Luke's gospel? It says, the women returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. All the disciples doubted, not just Thomas. The remaining didn't believe until Jesus appeared to them that evening, which we just heard in the first part of this morning's gospel. So why does Thomas get singled out as the doubter? And I can only guess, but my guess is that for his story, we have a lot more details in the nickname Stuck. But let's look at Thomas's doubt. Thomas does not say, no matter what I see and no matter what I hear, I'm never going to believe. He doesn't say that. Thomas says, unless I see, until I touch, I won't believe. And that, brothers and sisters, makes all the difference. Thomas's doubt is one that wants to know. Thomas's doubt is one that accepts the challenge, one that accepts his challenge to change his mind and to admit that he was wrong. In the hymns of the church, we actually call Thomas's doubt blessed and wonderful. Just last night at Vespers, we sang, how wonderful is the doubt of Thomas. It brought the heart to know. Isn't that beautiful? A doubt brought the heart to know. The heart knows because of doubt, because of the good kind of doubt, the doubt that investigates, the doubt that seeks an answer, the doubt that accepts the challenge to change your mind. Now, for his part, Jesus not only accepts but blesses Thomas's doubt. Jesus does not say, gosh, Thomas, you know, after all I showed you, after everything I predicted, you doubted, go away and shut the door. You know, he doesn't say that. Of course not. Jesus invites Thomas to him. He says, touch my wounds, see for yourself, it is I. It really is me. And of course, Thomas does the hardest thing a human being ever has to do, which is to change his mind. And he believes. And then Jesus says to Thomas, you know, Thomas, I could use someone like you. I've got a job for you to do. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he says, you need to strengthen all those who will believe without seeing, without being able to touch. Thomas, in a sense, is us. Thomas stands for us. The person of St. Thomas essentially says to us, you know what? Doubt is sure to come. Doubt is absolutely going to come your way. But what kind of doubt it is, that's your choice. If it's the doubt that says, no matter what, I'll never believe, then Thomas can't help you. Maybe God can, but Thomas can't. But if it's the kind of doubt that wants to believe, if it's the kind of doubt that's willing to investigate, if it's the kind of doubt that's willing to consider overwhelming evidence, if it's a kind of doubt that has the strength and courage to change your mind, then Jesus says your doubt is wonderful and blessed, and come see, come hear me, come touch me, because I definitely could use someone like you. Amen.